Man, what about Darren and the band this morning? Let's put our hands together and yeah. What a great job. And you know, we've often said here at Bethel that everything rises and falls on leadership. And we have so many volunteers here, and this worship team is so talented, and we're so blessed that they choose to use their gifts for the glory of God. But how many know our worship team has a great leader in cornbread rice? Come on, somebody. Cornbread chicken fried rice. And so today you're in for a great blessing. You're going to get to hear from Connor Rice today. So we've been in this series, Moments, and we've been talking about these moments that just captivate our hearts. These moments that change the direction of our life. And so today we're going to be talking about worship, and who else better to share with us about the power of praise and worship than your worship pastor, Connor Rice. Come on, put your hands together and give Connor some love today. I want to say this, that in life, you know, life is all about partnership as we live on this earth. How many would agree with that? When Jesus sent out His disciples, He didn't send them out one by one. He sent them out two by two, because two are better than one. And so I've been so blessed at Bethel here for all these years to have great partners. And number one is Jennifer and my children. They've been a great job and a great support team for us. There's so many others, the Hagers, the Robinsons, the Cunninghams, the Pachecos. And as you read scripture, you'll see, you know, Elijah had Elisha, David had Jonathan, Paul had Silas. And so I just say this today. It's been a great blessing to be a partnership with you, Connor, and you leading worship here, and what a great job you do. And I don't take that lightly. I remember back in the day when we did three services a week. We did Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And on Sunday nights, many nights, we would go home. We lived in Abilene, and I would get home on Sunday night, and I would just be tired from two church services, and I would turn TBN on so I could watch a little bit of preaching myself. And there was a church that came on at 10:30 at night. It was called Hillsong Church from Australia. At that time, they had the greatest worship band ever, and they had a 30-minute program, and 15 minutes would be worship, and 15 minutes would be preaching. And I'll never forget one night I was sitting there and I was tired, and we were working several jobs and trying to make church go. And this preacher gets up and he goes, "You know, Hillsong has become famous worldwide." And he said, "Hillsong has become famous not because of my preaching, but because of the worship that we have here." And he bragged on the worship that he had and how great that it was and the importance of worship. And I just remember sitting in my recliner watching TV, and I remember praying a prayer under my breath, "Lord, I just pray that someday Bethel will have a worship team like that, and I pray that Bethel will be known for their worship more than for their preaching." And I really believe that God has answered that prayer with Connor and with the team that he's brought together here. They do a great job. He's going to come and he's going to share with you about worship this morning. So let's put our hands together and let's welcome your worship pastor, Connor Rice.
We good? It's on. Perfect. What up, everybody? Y'all live this morning? All right. So, hey, before we do this, I just want to say thank you to y'all too, before I get started, for just the discipleship that y'all have led me through and allowed me to get up here. And y'all got a lot of guts to allow this to happen on a Sunday morning. And so thank y'all for everything y'all are and everything y'all are to these people in this room. Also, I don't ever get the chance to do this, because I'm always, it's never the appropriate time, it doesn't seem like. But I just want to brag on some people right quick. Talking about worship, man. These guys right here on the front row, Dan and Katie and just Naomi, and all the guys that are up in the media room. Yeah, y'all can give them some love this morning, because I'm blessed to get to come and do what I do up here, but it would not be what it is without them and the effort and the sacrifice that they put into this place each week. They drive countless hours over here to put up with my ADD brain and trying to get through sets, and they drive to Guthrie and they drive from Sweetwater, and it's crazy what they do to come in here. So y'all show them some love whenever we get out of here in a little bit. We are continuing, like they said, in our Moments series. And today we're going to talk about the song we just sang, talking about the walls of Jericho. And we're going to throw some worship in there. It's all going to tie back to worship and what that looks like and what I believe that looks like for us as people every single day I love this story because it's kind of a story of courage, it's boldness, and it's a story of just discipline and obedience. And I love that, and I think that that's what worship is a lot of the times for us. And so I am going to pray this thing up, and then we're going to get started. So, Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the people in this room. God, thank you that you've brought us all here together to learn, Father, to worship you. God, I thank you just for what you're doing in this church. And Lord, I pray that the words that I speak today, God, they aren't from me. They aren't anything that I've got, but they're just the stories that you've told through my life. Father, that you would speak through me and that you would take control of this thing, God, and that people would hear your word today and get a new perspective of what your word looks like in a new way today. God, we love you. We're expecting of you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so I'm going to read this, and we're going to kind of backtrack here in a minute. We're going to start off in Joshua 6, verse 15 is where we're going to start off, and then I'll give you all some detail on how we get here. So I'm going to start right there. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city seven times in the same manner, except that on that day they circled the city seven times. The seventh time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who were with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking them, any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury." When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted. And at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So every man charged straight in, and they took the city. They devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed with the sword every living thing in it. Men, women, young and old, cattle, sheep, and donkeys. So I'm going to get backtrack right here. I just want to set this up for y'all. Moses, we all know Moses. He's the leader of the Israelites. He brought them out of Egypt. He got a call from the Lord, burned a bush, and he was strong in that, and he followed his calling. So he brought the Israelites out of Egypt, and they're coming to the end of Moses' life, and he's raising up this guy named Joshua. Now, Joshua was this bold, strong, fearless guy that Moses had been raising up, and he was a strong leader. And so he had just got the Israelites across the Jordan River, which is you cross the river and you come into the land of Canaan, and that is the promised land that God was giving the Israelites. And so prior to that crossing of that river, they send out two spies, and two spies, he says, "Y'all go check out the land, and especially check out Jericho. We want to see what that's about." And so they make it to this city, Jericho. The two spies do, and people recognize them, and they're like, "They're not from here. We don't know. Are those the Israelites? Maybe so." And so they give word to the king. The king sends some men out to go get them and to question them. And so how many of y'all know that whenever you ride with the Lord, he always makes a way? Thank God. So he sends a prostitute to come and grab these guys up and says, "Hey, hold on a minute. I can hide y'all for a second. I know who you are. I've heard about you. I've seen you. I've heard about the stories of God bringing y'all out of Egypt. And he parted the Red Sea." And she's like, "We know like what your God is capable of, and we are terrified around here. We're scared, and we know that you're here spying, and you're going to come and take this land from us. And we are like trembling in fear about this. Our people's courage is down low. We're fearful." She said, "So how about this? How about a life for a life? I will hide you from these guards if you will spare my family." So you're like, "Heck yeah, we can deal with that. We'll hide y'all, or we'll take you up on that deal." So they go, and she hides them up on the roof. The guards come. They are asking her, "Who are the men that were with you?" And she said, "I don't know them." And they didn't say where they came from. So she said, "But I think they went to the hills over there. Y'all go check in the hills." So the king's men went to the hills. The two spies went around. They went back to the camp, got home safely. And so from that point on, they tell Joshua what's going down, and so they start their march to Jericho. And that's where we're going to pick up right here in Joshua 5:13. So if you want to get your Bibles out, I'm just going to tell y'all, I'm liable to fumble some of these words, so y'all better be reading real close if you want to be on track. So here we go. Joshua 5:13. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. So I just want to break this little part down right here. I love this part. And I just, when I read this, I feel like Joshua is approaching this city that God gave him. He put a calling on his life, right? And he's got this calling, and he's confident in it. And he's bold about it. God says, "I'm going to give you this land, so you're going to have to go take it over. And I'm going to empower you to do that." So he's walking up to this city, and he sees a man appear in the road. And he's got his sword drawn. And if you think about this, it says the commander of the Lord's army. This guy had to be big, y'all. You know what I mean? Like, this is like a spiritual being in the middle of the road, sitting here face to face with Joshua, just staring him down. But I feel like Joshua, bold, fearless, confident, walks up to this man because he knows a calling on his life. And he doesn't know who this man is yet. And he walks up and he says, "Oh, hold on, mate. Are you for us or are you against us?" Because if you're not, I feel like in the back of his head, he's thinking, if you're not for us, dude, you're about to get wiped out by me and my people, so you better choose wisely where you're at. So he walks up to this man, and he says, "I'm not for you, I'm not against you, but as the commander of the Lord's army." And so, boom, check right there. Joshua realizes who he's standing up against. Some versions say it could be the Lord. Some versions say it's an angel. Some, we don't know that for sure, but it is a spiritual being from heaven commanding their armies up there. And so he's sitting here and he realizes when that angel identifies himself, he says, "Okay, I am confident and I am bold, but I know that I need to get down on my face right now." And I feel like we can all take from that and learn from that right now. Because in the world we live in today, come on, somebody, we've got to be bold. We've got to be able to stand when God calls us into something, and we can't just tippy toe up to it and be weak and mild about it. But sometimes we have to go with confidence, even if there's a big guy standing in the front of us with a big sword drawn. And so he comes up to him, and I think this is where we can go both ways on the deal. We've got to learn that we have to be bold in that when God calls us to something, but we also have to learn when to be reverent and fall on our face and worship. And so this next part that we're about to go into is going to kind of tell you what happens after the fact that he realizes who the angel is and who and what he's about, and he falls down on his face. And this is where we're at right here. It says Joshua, it's Joshua 6:1-5. It says, "Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing their trumpets. When you hear the sound, hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and every man will go up, every man straight in." So Joshua just delivers this message, but you kind of read that already. It's just God replaying it and Joshua replaying what God said. And so Joshua goes and he delivers this and he commanded the people, like, come on, it's time to advance. And he tells them, we're going to march around the city for 6 days straight. Armed men in front. How many of y'all know that if you're going to be a leader, you got to be armed a little bit, you know what I'm saying? You got to have something to fight with. And he says, "Tell the 7 priests to carry their trumpets. Make sure the ark is behind them and tell them to blow the trumpet before everybody shouts. There is a lot of detail right there. And my little ADD brain right there, y'all, would go south in a hurry if I had to have all that in here and stored up. But watch this next part. Joshua 10. It's verse 10. But Joshua had commanded the army, "Do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout, and then shout." Let me set this little scene up for y'all. Can y'all imagine these two jokers right over here, Cody and Cole, going around this city completely silent for 6 days straight without shouting, without doing anything? Can y'all imagine? That command does not get fulfilled, I don't think. I can just see Cole, "Hey, Cody, what do you think we're doing? Hey, what do you think we're going to go?" Cody's like, "Dude, shut up. We're just marching. Come on." I can see it. Y'all ever seen those videos of the kids that are sitting at the table and their parents will set the candy on the table and they'll be like, "All right, I'm about to leave the room and you cannot eat this until I come back. Do not." And they set the camera up and the parents leave and them kids are like, "Hey, what do you, should we?" It's like, grab it. I feel like that's Cody and Cole in that moment right there. They can't help themselves. Gotta shout, gotta talk. But seriously, though, that's something I think that we all need to be a little better at. Just shutting our mouths, like Joshua told the Israelites when they're walking around. Shut your mouth. How many of y'all could shut y'all's mouth a little bit more often? I know I can. Yeah. Because whenever we're talking all the time, and God calls us to do something, and we're talking, and we're constantly blabbering, we can't hear anything he's saying. We can't listen to anything that he's saying. I think we can all be a little bit better about that. Just listen. Listen to the people you're around. You might gain some wisdom from that. Listen when you wake up in the morning. Get up a little earlier in the mornings, how about? So you can listen, because as soon as if you sleep in and your wife wakes up with you, then there's conversations going on about work and all the different things and the kids and here. Wake up a little earlier. Get in the presence of the Lord and just spend some time and listen. It's amazing what that would do for everybody in this room. So, from there, Joshua told the people everything God commanded. They did what he said, marched for 6 days, all the details that he gave them. Not a word said, just moving their feet. And that brings us back to our main scripture that we started with, and we're going to break it down from here, verse by verse. And so, that is going to go back to verse 15 of chapter 6, and it says, "On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day they circled the city 7 times. The 7th time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, 'Shout, for the Lord has given you the city.'" Now, if you're like me at all, you are asking, why all the dadgum detail, God? Why all the detail? What are we doing? I can just see it. There's probably a lot of people, and I feel like this is where this story relates to everybody in this entire room, is we go to trying to follow the Lord, and he doesn't really give us like he's like, just follow these details all the time. Follow it around, and just do what I said, and then I'll show you at the end what's going to happen. And so we always get to the point where we're just, all right, sure, I can get on board with that. So we start walking, and by day 4, we are over it. Like, I'm done with this. God, what in the world? And so I can just imagine these Israelites. They're like, they've already seen what God can do. Part of the Red Sea, part of the river, let them get across there. And they're like, thinking, God, come on, dude. Like, what is going on? Like Dan was saying, like, what is going on, God? I bet they got kind of irritated, I would imagine. Some of them kind of got a little bit sour. Some of them were trying to be obedient and wouldn't talk to the other. And the other one's like, dude, come on, let's have some fun with this, you know, like, talk to me. And they're getting aggravated. And by the time they get around there, their feet are hurting. They're questioning God. They're questioning Joshua. What the heck is going on in here? And they can't figure out what's going on. And that's much like all of us in our everyday life. And I'd say it's because God needed their obedience. He needed them to trust and have faith. Y'all ever find yourself asking, why the nonsense? It's hard sometimes. When God doesn't give us a clear answer, and he doesn't do it right now, it's hard to keep on going. He needs you to trust. He needs you to have faith and be what he's about. And you don't have to have all the details. If we're being real, some of them, they probably didn't shout whenever they got there. because they were mad. Y'all ever been there where you, like, God's asking you, or anybody, you're just sold up and you don't want to do nothing. You're like, you know, forget you. I ain't doing it. Like, I'm tired of this. I am sick of this crap. I ain't doing it. I'm over it. I'm sure there was those people, and I'm sure there was the ones that were obedient. And they did shout. And thank God for those people that did shout and did obey the Lord on what his command was. Because they were obedient, the ones that were disobedient and didn't shout still got to reap the blessings of the one who did stand strong and do it. So I just want to ask you that question today. How many of us, if we can be real, go on a daily basis and we don't obey the Lord? We don't want to because we're tired and we're sick of it, and we don't want to walk and we don't want to march no more. Our feet are hurting. We're tired of the process, so we become disobedient. But thank God for the people in our circles that are obedient, that do, like these two over here. There's so many people in this room that I get to see and I get to watch, and I get to go and ride their shirt tails. And so hopefully sometimes I'm the one that they're riding my shirt tail. But because of the ones that are obedient, the ones that aren't still get to reap the benefit. Who are you in that? Something we ask ourselves. Who are you? Are you obeying the Lord so people can gain from it? Are you just sucking the life out of everybody around you, just hoping they're going to do it for you? Hard question, but a good one. Next up, we go to verse 18. It says, "But keep away from the devoted things, so you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into the treasury. Devote everything to the Lord." I can't cover all this today, but I just want to challenge y'all to go read the next chapter, chapter number 7 in this deal. And you will see and you will find out what happens when you don't devote those things to the Lord. So he gives us victory all the time. He's always going to go. He's kind of knocking down the walls and he does these things for us. So last week in here, we had like 30-something people baptized and their life changed. Can we give the Lord some praise for that right quick? So he comes and he does. He changes our life and he calls us out of the old life that we were living in, and he wants to give us something new so many times and so often, but we just kind of like, we're like stepping up with our hands back here, just trying to grab those little things that may not seem so bad, that may not seem like they hurt us. Like a few friends from our past that kind of let us down the wrong road, but I think we can bring them up here. God wanted to do something new in my life, but I think I can still grab that little sin and I can manage it. And we let that pride get in our head and thinking that we can do it. And he says, dude, cut everything off. Devote it to the Lord. I'm giving you victory. I'm bringing you into a new life, a new promised land. You have got to cut that stuff off, because if you don't, it's going to come in. It's going to bring division within your camp, within your family, within your home. That pride that you have, you can't manage it on your own. And he knows better than us. We think that we can go back there and grab it, but he knows that we can't handle that. And so I just want to challenge you. If God takes you somewhere, you people that were baptized last week, man, leave the old flesh there. Leave the past there. Step into a new one. Step into a new city. It's going to be hard. You're going to have to fight. You're going to have to go for it. And it's going to be hard to leave them things there. But I promise you it's worth it if you can just focus in and do that. Don't bring it back home with you. The next verse is verse 20. When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted. And at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed, so every man charged straight in, and they took the city. When the men gave a loud shout. Can y'all guys just give us a loud shout right quick? Come on. Heck yeah. There's something about a loud shout that just stirs up some energy. Like just now, y'all all had to feel that a little bit, right? I mean, it's like you kind of got this like, heck yeah, feeling in your gut. And there's just something about a loud shout. For Kenzie, it's opposite effect on her. When you shout in front of her, she jumps and gets mad and she just wants to fight. It's still energy at the same time, Ask Cole Hatfield how that works whenever you shout in front of her. Doesn't work the same for her, but a shout, it says to yell, cry out, call out, roar. If we could take this part to heart, I think it would change the game, and especially in this room on Sundays. I think it would absolutely change the game on these Sundays. I'm a shouter. I can't sing very good, but I can step off the mic and I can give me a good old holler. Come on. And there's something that it does in my system whenever that happens. And it brings me this fulfillment whenever I just release it. It's like a man whenever you're picking something up, you know, and you got to like really kind of strain. You get, you kind of get this grunt. It's the same thing. It's no different. Whenever you're picking something up, whenever you're shouting, moms, whenever you're picking up that chubby little baby out of the crib, you gotta, you kind of gotta give it a little grunt there. You're flanking calves, you're swinging a golf club. I know some of you old farts out here, like 75, still trying to golf, and it ain't working for you, but you give it a little grunt, Dickie. You gotta grunt a little bit. There's something about it. A shout is an expression of a strong emotion. And let's be honest about them emotions right quick. Let's be honest about that. I remember there was a time where I was fighting my head, and I still do every single day. I felt like I was constantly wrestling who I was. I was doing if I was doing the right thing or not, if I was in the right spot, if I was doing what God had called me to do, I was wrestling with honestly taking this up here on. Because my whole life I've worked with my hands and worked with my legs and put sweat and effort in there. This thing don't work very good, y'all. It's a little bit ADD and it kind of goes everywhere. If you can't tell, it just is. Ask the poor team that have to put up with me every single week. Will, be quiet. But I had this stuff I was fighting in my head. And it kind of brought this rage on inside of me. In this rage, like I'm telling y'all, I can mess some stuff up and my rage can overcome it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And I had this moment of where I was just, I'll just go into this story. It's like, man, I was in my house and I'm struggling with like, where you at? What do you got for me? I don't hear you. I don't know what you're trying to do in my life. I'm wrestling with this. God, am I supposed to lead worship at a church and go on full time and do that? Because it seems kind of like a little soft to me. And it seems like I need to be doing something else and be making more money. I need to be doing all the things. And it was hard. My mind was going through a struggle and I needed to let a shout out real bad. But I thought in my head, if I had that argument, I had that shout, this wasn't so much a joyful shout, it was like a rage shout. And I kept it in for so long. And it started jacking me up inside. My heart was fouled up. I was angry. I was angry at the people in my circle. I was angry at God. I was angry at myself. I was fouled up in my brain. And one night I'm sitting there on my floor at night before I got married, thank God. And I was sitting on my floor and I'm face down on the ground. And I'm like calling out to the Lord, God, where you at? Like, I need you. I need you right now. I need you to speak to me. And it's like night after night, it was silent and it was silent. And I just kept on fighting for a voice and fighting for some kind of clarification of what I'm supposed to be doing. And it ain't happening. It ain't happening. I finally just said, God, where are you at? I'm sick of this crap. I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. You said to trust you, and I've done it, and I've been trying to walk with you, and I've been trying to go with you, and you're silent. Matter of fact, I can't stand you right now, God. I don't even know if I believe you right now. I don't know if I believe anything that you told me. The people that have told me to come into this thing, the people that said you have a calling on you, I don't know if I believe you, God. I'm done with this crap. Tearing stuff up on my house, and it's like this moment of you just like slapped me in the face, and he said, there you are. There's the real you. There's the part that I've been looking for this whole daggum time. You've been all over the place and your mind has been everywhere and you've been yapping and you've been talking and you've been trying to find me, but you never just shut up long enough to listen to me. I've got these plans for you, and if you would just listen. And this is kind of wild, but it's part of the story, but like, that song that we sing, I think y'all all know it pretty good, The Fire by Night, Cloud by Day. It's a song called You Are With Me. And that song was birthed in that moment. And it's like the first lines to that song are, God, forgive my unbelief. Because in that moment, I got real. And it's like, I didn't realize that it was on me. I've been going way too much. I've been trying way too hard to figure it out on my own and control every situation by myself. And it's like, there you are. Let me give you these lyrics now. Now, I want you to go write this song. I happened to be reading about the Israelites exiting out of Egypt. And it just kept on adding up. And this song now, there's like, I don't know, 900 of y'all that just sing it every time that we come in here. And it's like God takes these moments. If we would just be quiet, get on our face, but also be real. Know when to get on your face. Know when to be quiet and know when to shout, man. I don't never know when that is. I just was playing the moment. But it's like this moment when I got real, everything kind of changed for me right there. It's like my mind, I didn't have this rage anymore, and I can have this honest conversation with the Lord. And it all just goes back to spending time in His presence, man. I didn't realize that all those moments that I was laying on the floor at night till 3 o'clock in the morning trying to figure things out, it's like He's present, but He's just letting you go like the Israelites had to march around that city for 6 days. But I promise you a breakthrough is coming if you will just stay hooked on it. Have no idea where I'm at. The last part of that verse right here says, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So every man charged straight in and they took the city. The wall collapsed, but it didn't stop right there. How many of y'all know that that's when the fight took place right there, when the walls came down? There was a bunch of people on the inside of that wall that knew that the Israelites were coming. And the Israelites had to dig their feet in the ground. They took the wall down for them. God did it. They shouted. They didn't have to do much but march around. That marching seemed a lot simpler when the walls came down. It kind of made it seem worth it. But then it wasn't done right there. He had to keep on moving. They had to keep on digging in, strap up and go. And that's what we have to do. God is going to take you through a process of things. And you have to keep staying hooked on it. And then whenever He does bring the walls down and give you away, you still have to keep on digging in. I can't imagine what was on the other side of that wall waiting for them, man. There was a bunch of fathers who had wives that they loved dearly. They had children, sons and daughters that they loved dearly. And somebody was coming to take that from them. And I just feel like this is important for me to hit on this morning. It's important for us to know which side of the wall we stand on. On the inside of that wall were people that, children, that had no shot. They had no shot at what was coming. No matter how hard their fathers and their mothers fought these Israelites, the Israelites were God's people. And because they were God's people, He gave them victory. And so I just want to go back right quick, and I just want to remind you about Rahab, that prostitute that the spies ran into. When she saw him, and this is chapter 2, verse 10, she says, "We have heard about how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below." And so I just want to raise this point, man, that for you to know stories about God ain't enough. For you to hear a little story at church ain't enough. Because just like the prostitute knew, I would imagine that ever she said, our hearts are melted in fear. Our people of Jericho are melted in fear because we've heard about what the Lord did for you. Yet they chose to stay where they were at. Fathers and mothers, hearing about what this God did for these Israelites and hearing that He's the God of heaven and of earth, but yet they chose to stay in the same spot that they were in, worshiping the same old worldly gods that they were worshiping. And because of it, the Israelites came and their children had no idea. Their children had no game to play. They weren't playing. They had no hand in this game. And the Israelites come and they wipe them out. And these young, small children died by the sword because of the lack of their mother and their father making a choice to follow the God of heaven and earth. And so, we're talking about worship today, man. It ain't, what are you teaching your kids, man? Like, it's serious. This is a serious conversation. Because the less that you know about God, the less that you know how to obey His commands, the less that you know how to teach your children, the more they're going to get whooped through life. And it ain't going to be the church that comes after them. It's going to be the enemy in this case. Thank God. It should make you all the more grateful for the blood that Jesus shed on mine and your behalf. Because if that wasn't the case, that is more than likely you and I on the inside of that wall today. Not knowing who God is, and there's not grace, and there's not the blood covering everything. So therefore, when God comes and we don't know who He is, it's destruction on us, man. Thank God for the New Testament and Jesus coming and dying for our sins, man. Because if we don't know this, if we don't know who God is, then our kids suffer at this. And it's on us, it's on me, it's on you. And so I say that to tell you, like, dude, it is your highest responsibility to teach them. Your highest act of worship is to teach them, to let them know who God is, to teach them what He desires, to teach them how to obey Him. That's tough, and it's not very pretty, but it is the way that it is. So, Darren, if y'all want to come up here, I'm going to close this thing out. The bottom line today is in how do we line all this stuff up with worship? Seems a little bit extreme for worship. Praise and worship may not be what y'all came in here to hear, thinking that y'all were going to hear. But this story is what true worship is. It's not pretty music that makes you feel good on Sundays. It's living a life of obedience and honoring God and what He says and acting on it, man. It has nothing to do with music. Music is what we get in reward for that. We get to come in here and worship the Lord. Be obedient even when it doesn't make sense like the Israelites were. Be the obedient one out of the group. Lead your circles, man. That's what worship is. It's becoming a leader. Joshua took this lifestyle on and gave it all he had with passion, man. He lived this life, the calling that God gave him. He walked it out. He took it with confidence. He went hard with it. He had to do some hard things. He had to take lives. And thank God we ain't at that point this day and age. But man, what are you willing to do to obey the Lord? What are you willing to do? Are you on your face? We don't know how to do that unless we get in the presence of God and read His word and understand what He desires. We don't have the knowledge to just know this without reading that and being in His presence. It's like whenever he fell face down in front of the angel at the front of this story. How did he know what to do? How did he know how to go about these walls of Jericho? That marching around it six times, which seems stupid, and blowing a trumpet and shouting seems like ignorant to me, but it was what God intended for it to be. And how did he know that without getting on his face in the presence of him, being quiet and listening, but also having confidence and boldness to stand up and act on it and do what God told him to do? There's no way that we can serve God at the highest capacity without his presence, without seeking his face. Joshua sought the Lord. He heard from the Lord. And no, like my story, it ain't always going to come to you like that. And you ain't always going to know just like that. But you've got to stay hooked. I know it's hard. I ain't good at it every day either. I still struggle with it like nobody's business. Staying hooked. Sticking to the process. But it's vital if we're going to live a life of worship. Worship is is not coming in here on a Sunday morning. That's where we get to praise at right here, y'all. How many of y'all thank God we get to come in this house and praise Him and have a moment of... It's all the little moments within the week that's going to change the atmosphere in this room for you. It's all the little moments of obedience, of seeking, of looking for the Lord and what His commands are. That whenever you come in here on a Sunday, you'd be surprised if you come in here with a shout, men, women. Come in here with a shout whenever Darren tells us to shout. Or when the song gets big. And if you just, I'm telling you, if you would just live your life on a daily basis and not expect Sunday to be your big aha moment, but if you would live your everyday single life in that and expect Sunday just to come and give back to the Lord and praise the Lord, you'd be amazed at what happens in your life and what happens in this moment, in this room in here. The stories that we could tell, man. It's not about, worship is not about this platform, this screen, these people, or anything like that, the songs we sing. It's about being obedient to the Lord and acting on what He says. It's hard, but it's doable. So, Father, thank You for showing us what obedience is, God. Thank You for sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, being an obedient Son, to die on our behalf, to take our sin, God, that we would have a good shot at this life and that we would have mercy and love and we could have joy and peace, Father. Thank You for what that brings. And so, Father, I pray that we don't lack in our obedience anymore, Father. I pray that You convict us to walk forward, God, to listen to Your words, not our own mind, not what we can bring to the table, Father, but I pray that You would convict us in a way, God, that would grow us, Father, that we would have to walk maybe and be silent for a little while, God. And we would have these little moments that would lead up to these big walls, Father, falling down in our life, and that You would show us and it would give us some zeal, Father, to worship You more and worship You again like the Israelites. It was one thing after the other, God. It was the desert first. They thought they were done. And You came to their rescue. And then they failed again. And then they came back. God, let us stand back up. Let us be confident. Let us be bold, Father. Move in these people in this room. Show us what worship is, Father. That way when we come here on a Sunday morning, on the seventh day, God, that we can shout with all we've got, knowing that the victory is Yours. Knowing that You're the one that has the victory, Father. Speak to us today and let us worship You. Just want to encourage y'all, we're about to sing one more song talking about the victory. It's Jesus. He's riding on the clouds. It's in His hands. So I want you to stand up today and I want you to worship like you've never worshiped. I want you to sing this song like you, I don't care if you think you sound good or not, but be obedient to the Lord and worship today. Shout. Be the one that shouts. Be the one that gives it all You got. Let's worship the Lord. Come on, y'all.